Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
Okay.
Time, please rise for the national anthem, performed by film and recording artist Noni Jay in a special duet with her late father, Marvin Jay.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Video Network. And we're
always open with a prayer. John Coltrane, Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Asking, pleading that you have your will and way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. Dear Lord, as a lady once said, you're God all by yourself. As a man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. We thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming, have come, did come, and all unmerited. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We ask you that you bless our family upon this holiday season. Bless the panel, which is my family here in New York and Virginia and Brazil. But more importantly, Lord, let your way be our way, for it's the only way we want to be. And we ask these blessings, all the blessings, bring God and Son, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. And without further ado, the man who will bring you into the Sports in Depth Nation, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Rooney will welcome you into the Sports in Depth Nation. Rooney, it's your show.
Thank you, good doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney, for those kind words and stellar introduction. And with that, it is time to get into, you know, Dusty, I smile, you know, when I see you and we played the SCRFM intro, and it was so much fun at SCRFM Radio, and
you still playing those old tapes?
hey, you know, hey, they're classics, baby. They're classics.
Latin Odyssey.
I could never say the Latin Odyssey in Spanish. Say it in Spanish, wait.
La Odisea Musical Latina.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Stop showing off, Dust. You know I always wanted to be bilingual. Stop showing off, Dust. Okay, this is Christmas time. I'm going to send you a Spanish-English dictionary.
Indeed.
Hey, Dust, I got something for you, too, before you go on, Doc.
Yeah.
It seems as though the commissioner said that there are going to be serious repercussions in regard to the San Antonio Spurs, like resting their entire starting five the other day. Commissioner seems to have a serious attitude about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a great thing to
say.
I mean, you know, the guy says, hey, man, you know, I want to rest my – and you know what? I tell you how good San Antonio was. They still just lost the game. I mean, and that's what you want to – you know, that's a great thing you mentioned that, Rooney, because that's what you want to do. At this time of the season, you want to see what your bench can do because you may need them during the course of the year and during the playoffs. Hey, Dusty, let me take Dusty and Mel out and let me put Harold and Hoops in. Now, you know, now I'm 7-8 deep, and 7-8 deep is better than 4-5 deep. I don't understand what the commissioner is upset about. It's not like they're trying to throw the game. The man said, my players are tired. They played 4 days. It's not like we're talking about a young Tim Duncan. Not that that matter. But, you know, Duncan's got a little time on the books, as so does Parker now. So,
well,
I mean,
let me ask a dumb question. Mm-hmm. Why do you have backups if you're not going to use them?
Oh, my goodness. Dusty.
Football or basketball or even baseball, the pitcher's getting rocked for 3 rounds. You already gave 35 runs. You can't take them out. I don't understand these non-basketball players who are experts and run the business.
Tremendous point, Dusty. I mean, and they're on the team, and now the guy decides to play them. And it's tremendous point.
I'll tell you, Dusty,
I think I could argue either side of this argument and argue it well. I really think I could take either side and argue either side well.
Okay, on the one hand, I can
see Popovich's first allegiance is to his team.
Okay.
He thought his guys were tired, needed a blow. Like you said, they played, 4 games in 5 days or some such craziness, something like that. And, you know, his first allegiance to me, the coach's first allegiance is to his team. By the same token, I can see this commissioner saying, now look, I can't have this becoming an epidemic around here because the fans are going to get sore. These guys are playing top dollar.
Heck with the
they
fans.
Want to see
the Duncans.
They want to see the Tony Parkers. They want to see the Ginobili's. They want to see the LeBron Jameses. They want to see the Dwayne Wade. So on the other hand, I can see the commissioner saying, hey, we can't have this now. Let's get carried away with this thing.
What about a season-ending or career-ending injury? You know, football. Here you have Ahmad, the running back, 44.
Bradshaw.
He's hurt. He has broken toes, broken this, and broken that. He's a walking mass unit.
They got
some good running backs that could spell him two or three plays. And you got some good dudes who back. I think it's this kid Brown, is it? Tremendous.
Yeah, I think that's
right. And you used to tell me you can't say, okay, Bradshaw, you take a break, slow down. And then you are building up a cadre of quality backups because they're getting the experience. What about this kid Wilson last week who caught his first touchdown? Is it Wilson? You know, he hasn't played much, but now he got a chance to play. This is how you build up a formidable team. The backups are just as good or almost as good as the...
Hey, Dusty, I told you we got to stop disagreeing. You got to stop this intelligence stuff here. But, Dusty, the classic line was... Dusty, here's the classic line. The classic line. It's not who starts the game, who finishes the game.
Exactly.
I mean, Havlicek was a perfect example of that. It wasn't who starts. I mean, a lot of times, man, you wanted the starters in the game. Of course, I remember the great Laker team, man. Riley would take out Magic... And Worthy and Nixon or Scott, and he'd bring in Cooper, Thompson, and McAdoo, and you would say, hey, man, bring them other guys back. These guys are killing us, man. I remember
exactly.
They came out the game. The Lakers had a 5-point lead. When he put them in and they went on the bench, the Lakers had a 13-point lead. So,
exactly.
I mean, can I
take just a moment to play? I don't really like this particular phrase, but can I play
devil's advocate for just a second? Today you are it. You ain't playing. You it today.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate. Let me be the devil's advocate with you and Doc, Dust, okay?
Yeah.
If I'm paying $150, $350, $400, $600 a ticket, I want to see the top guys, man. Don't give me the bench. Don't give me all that. I want to see Duncan. I want to see Ginobili. I want to see Tony Parker. I want to see LeBron James. I want to see Dwayne Wade, okay? I don't want to – you can bring the backup guys in with other dudes and get LeBron. I'm paying to see the top guys, okay?
The only way that you will get your money back if you don't see – the top guys is when you go to a Broadway play and Denzel Washington got sick today, so his understudy's going to play. Oh, no, I want my money back because I want to see Denzel. Denzel will be back there next week. So you'll wait till next week.
Exactly. I've seen that happen. That's where the star people sick for some reason and people say, hey, look, this is the performance I paid to see.
But you're playing guys who are tired, who are starters, who have been hurt, who are exhausted. Look, you know, Eli Manning said last week, I don't know how good this is, but he says self-aggrandizement. He says, I'm glad I had that week, the bye week, because I got my head together, my arm was tied, now I got it rested, and this, that, and the other. Hey, who is Eli Manning's backup quarterback when he was screwing? I don't know who he is, but the man, by his own admission, he needed a rest. I mean, these guys are not machines.
And you go all the way on this too, Dusty. If I'm the home team, you know, listen.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, I want to see the home team win. I mean, listen.
Yes.
It's like hey, I ain't got no problem if Willie Mays and Koufax ain't playing today. You know what I mean? I'll see them another time. But if the bottom line is about winning, I want to see the whole home team win by
that's
any
true,
measure.
And on
the other hand too, the coach is saying. And this is where I agree with Dusty, and this really has to stop, Dusty. I thought on other networks it would stop.
Yeah,
it really has to stop.
Dusty all show. Yeah, go ahead.
But this is the other thing. As a coach, I want to put the best product on the floor.
Right.
Okay? And right now, Dusty is missing his jump shot. I'm bringing Harrell in. Doc's made two turnovers. I'm putting Rooney in. I'm trying to win this game. It's that old fight thing that Dusty and Harrell know about. Georgie Benton, look good the next fight, win tonight. Okay? Look what the next fight went tonight. And we got Harold Weston on the road. We got a host of things. Happy birthday to Mariano Rivera yesterday, who signed a $10 million contract. He's coming back. Andy Pettis coming back. David Wright
coming back.
About you, David Wright. But we got Harold, who's got a rush on us. Harold, we got the fight tomorrow. Trout against Cotto. Once again, your likings and why and how.
Hello,
Harold?
I'm getting a splash here. I can't hear.
Yeah, okay. We got the Trout and Cotto fight, and you said you're leaning toward Trout tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards him. Yeah, because I think he's younger, and I think the fact that he's, he's a fighter that's on the rise. And Cotto and I went to the well too many times. I mean, you can go, but so many times. I mean, the great Muhammad Ali and the Sugar Ray Robinson, they all went to the well too many times, and that's, what the outcome comes.
He said
especially
that.
Especially when you got a stronger young fighter that's hungry. I mean, this kid has fought in other people's backyard in one fight, and he's still undefeated.
Yeah.
That's a lot right there, man.
He said that. He said that being in a hostile environment, being away from home, is a lot of way at home for him because he's used to it. And he said, the thing, too, that's going for him is that, he's always dreamed about fighting Harold in the Temple of Boxing, as Don King said, Madison Square Garden.
The key point is that, Cotto has fought in Puerto Rico, New York. All that's Puerto Rico. I mean, basically, he's fought in his environment. Now, he's fighting a guy that is used to that kind of, hostile environment. That brings, it's just like me. When I fought in those guys' backyard, I loved it because it was so good. You hear the big cheers at the beginning. Then when the crowd just gets quiet, then you know what's going on.
Hey, Doc. I had this question that I always wanted to ask Dusty and Harold, the two fighters at the same time. So I'll ask them and be brief. They're talking so glowingly, and you have to about, the late Hector Camacho, during the other shows. Harold, Dusty, and I really seriously need to ask you this because it's a question that's been on my mind for quite some time. Are great fighters born or are they made?
Great fighters are born.
Wow.
They develop.
It's natural.
It's
the word natural.
Because they just do things just so easy. Then other guys just got to struggle and learn how to throw a punch or learn how to get their balance or even put a combination together. It takes them time. I mean, it's a natural thing. I mean, it just come automatically. And their sight and their input is so quickly developed that, it just gets crazy. And you can sit there just being amazed when you see a natural fighter. And that's the key point about being natural. Even with baseball and basketball, the guys, they're natural, they can do it easy.
Just because you're tall doesn't mean you're going to be a good basketball player. Go ahead, Duffy.
It takes the natural guy, not only adopts to, for example, it'll take me 10 times to teach this dude how to throw a jab, and the natural will pick it up in one or two lessons. But that natural does his homework away from the gym. Oh, this is what Sid Martin told me how to do. I'll stand in front of the mirror and practice and practice. That's a natural who takes his work home, does his homework, and then goes back to the gym and develop more. A guy who's not a natural will find it hard to adapt and may not even think about it when he's home. But a natural is the one that lives, absorbs, eats, sleeps his new craft. And that's exactly what he said a guy like Camacho, the guy was a natural. He loved the whole aura of what he was doing with his gloves. And it's basically what it is.
And what's so crazy about guys that's so natural, and Dustin said one thing about it, right? Them guys could be in a fight, a tough fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going into the late round. And all of a sudden, they'll just get this energy nowhere and can pull a fight out. Where another guy can do the same type of fight and be dead tired.
Exactly.
And can't pull it out because they're tired.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with natural guys. They just come to that point. They just can do it easier than everybody else.
They find some way to pull victory out of defeat because they are naturals and they've tried and they've trained.
Great line, Dusty.
And
that's a great line. I remember in the song by Kanye West, he says, "I'm a champion and I snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat." Yeah, exactly. And talk about natural. I got you guys talking that. You know, because Doc Stanley Sports Network and the Trusted Guard Radio Network, it is a Friday preview of what happened in the past. It's going out and Cotto tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. They announced,
yeah,
too, that Zeb Judah against Danny Garcia is going to come up. Go ahead, Dusty.
Doc, can I give you my opinion on Miguel Cotto and
as long as it's not this one-sided Latin thing, okay? Because the guy's Latin, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yay, Puerto Rico! No.
And say it in English, too, Dusty.
No, I could resist that one. I agree and disagree with Harold.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the statistics, and yes, Austin Trout is the Cinderella man. That's why I called him in my column. The Cinderella man picked out on Palookaville to fight, to realize a dream that he's always wanted in MSG in a championship fight. Do you know that he beat Canelo Alvarez's older brother for that title? I didn't know that Canelo had another brother, Rigoberto Alvarez. Okay, besides that. And he's taller, he's faster, longer arms than Miguel Cotto. But I looked at Miguel Cotto's. I ran through his old resume. This man has been in 40 wars. It's true, there's a lot of wear and tear. But 40 wars with guys that Trout never fought. The Pacquiao's, the Margaritos, the Joshua Clarys, Carlos Quintana, who Cotto said gave him the hardest time. So I wonder if that lack of experience on Trout would be his deficit instead of Miguel Cotto being one, like they call him, a shot fighter. So in this case, I said because of that experience, I feel that Cotto can get to him, can hurt him, could punch him. He's a good vicious body puncher, and he might be able to take him into deep waters. But he has to probably start this from the get. The deficit here is, and I agree with Harold, Cotto cuts. And he gets tired in the later rounds, like Harold just talked about getting tired in the later rounds. But I've seen Cotto with some of the worst slashes, man. Like he lost a fight to Edward Scissorhands and still fight and come out victorious. That's the way I see it. I see this guy, he's coming up, he's going to fight a veteran that 30 of his 40 fights were by knockout, and they weren't tank towns or canvasbacks. These were some bad dudes that he knocked out. And he fought a tremendous fight with Mayweather. He fought a tremendous fight with Shane Mosley. And of course, those fights with Margarito and Pacquiao, he lost, but still, they were wars. So I don't know whether that's the equation to give him the edge over Trout, who's the Cinderella man and feels like, I've finally got my shot. So either way, I expect Cotto to pull it out. But either way, I wouldn't be surprised, like Harold says, if Austin knocks out Cotto.
It's just like I said. The whole synopsis was a Latin thing. That's all. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trusted Guard Radio. There was a happy birthday yesterday to Mariano Rivera, who got a nice birthday gift, $10 million contract.
Sure,
he'll be back next year with the Yankees. Andy Pettit signed earlier this week. David Wright, the biggest contract in history of the New York Mets. He got it. Naturals. Let's talk real quickly.
Wait a minute.
Time.
What did he get? I didn't read that. What
he got 100 something, so he's got the they added 100 plus something, so he's got the biggest contract ever in history
of the
Mets.
They won't give it to Reyes.
No, well, listen.
Now, you see?
Listen, Dusty, we... Tell us something.
I thought the Asia guys getting a 7-year contract for none.
Well, listen, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line, gang. I thought the Mets didn't have no money. What are you telling me?
Last year
they had no money. This year they came up with some. Talking about naturals, gentlemen, I'll let you kick this part, Rooney, and Harold, the great Harold Weston, and the equally great Dusty Justine Lewis. Talked about naturals. And the Giants this week up against a natural. The only quarterback rookie in history of the NFL to throw back-to-back four-touchdown games. On the Washington Redskins, who happens to be the last team in NFL to get a black player. But RG3, you kept talking about this too, Rooney. And we talk about
Rocky
natural.
Has greatness written all over him. Should that kid or young man, let me say, not have any
career-ending injuries, you know, broken fibulas and what have you. Yeah, I'm telling you, I think he's a future Hall of Famer. That kid has a future Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, the one thing that Patrick Ferrara talked about was his talent was so vast that Shanahan built the offense around him instead of making him adjust to the system. They adjusted the system to him, speaking to the first and only African-American commander of the JCSC unit in the history of the United States military, who soon retired, Colonel Robert L. Buffet Jr., who's also Chief of Staff of Security at the White House, who happened to be my cousin, too, who was on the show here with us. He talked about RG3.
Show off.
Be jealous. Say low, so. He's a great young man off the football field. And this is the thing that you always... I remember Michael Katz said about Ali and how, you know, Ali treated the guy from the high school newspaper the same way he treated the guy from the New York Times, and Ali always had time for the brothers and the Latin guys. Real quickly, as I'm thinking about it, hey, what's this here? You know, Michael Jordan got banned off of a golf course because Mike said he's on the 11th hole, he's played this spot before, and now they tell him he can't wear cargo pants. Did they realize? They must have realized he was retired, huh, Rooney?
Yeah, it was so dumb.
First I've heard of it. Are you serious? What's the deal with that, Doug?
Yeah. Michael Jordan on a court in Florida. They came to him on the 11th hole and said, "Hey, you know, you can't wear cargo pants." And Mike said, "You know, I'm on the 11th hole."
Plaid pants that all the other golfers wear.
Mike said, "I've done this before, and I'm on the 11th hole." You know, the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Real quickly, too, we talked about Mike. Again, remember Hector Camacho, I believe he may be have his body flown in here. We talked
it's
about the big fight tomorrow.
It's already in New York.
It is? Okay. Good.
It's already in New York since yesterday, and it's amazing how when the cameras... I've been living and dying... Oof, I shouldn't say the word. But I've been living and dying this whole situation with Hector. It's a very emotional deal with me. And...
Mm-hmm.
They brought him back home to my turf, our turf, our barrio. And ironically, he's being waked. One of the church services is in our parish where we were in the barrio, St. Cecilia's, 106th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Then they panned the area, the projects, which we hanged out all the time. I believe his mother still lives there. And then he'll be buried in St. Raymond Cemetery.
Legendary St. Raymond.
Yeah, and it's almost like... the Celia Cruz crusade, so to speak, because you never know how many people loved, adored, idolized Camacho, and unfortunately in his death. And
it's that great line that Billie Holiday says, Dusty, you're not famous in America until you're dead.
Until you're dead.
The Honorable Susan Mendoza's great line is, one rose in the hand of the living is worth more than countless wreaths on the grave. You know what I mean?
And I don't know if you folks, of course, this is my bag, but Hector Lavoe was the primary singer for Willie Colon.
Wow.
And he got into drugs and this, that, and the other. And, well, the tragic note, I'll just say it briefly. The tragedy is that his young son was playing with a gun that belonged to Hector Lavoe, and he killed himself. The father was so distraught, meaning Hector Lavoe, he was so distraught that he tried to kill himself jumping off Elio Isla, which was one of the hotels in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
He was destitute, broke, had no money to pay hospital bills. Guess who bankrolled him?
Hector Camacho.
See, these things people don't know. These things people don't know how he helped people. Always charismatic.
Well, always a story with us, Dusty. That's always a story. You know, if Harold Weston gets locked up on some charges in the front page of the news, next Thursday when he's a pardon and it turned out that it was an error, you get a little small piece in the newspaper.
Exactly. So here, you know, he's helped a lot of people. Of course, he had his juvenile delinquent problems. I can go on for now, but because I know the stories, but I'll leave that out. But he was an image. He was a person who broke the dress code in the ring. I mean, flamboyant. Harold can talk more about that. And he was always helpful to people. I mean, of course, he's Hollywood handsome, and he had three or four wives. He has four kids. I don't know if you saw the scandal. No, you didn't, because I don't know if you followed Telemundo. Two ex girlfriends went to the wake, and they fought fist to fist. Because they were the ones that had to be there, and one said, no, you don't belong there. But that's all the negative side. But I'm trying to highlight the positive side, that this kid was and is an icon, totally idolized. People in his body were crying. They were standing at the wakes. I mean, like if they were giving out free food just to go see him, you know. And he does belong. And I don't care what they say in the Hall of Fame. Can you imagine modern-day fighters today with a record of 88 fights? Nah, nowhere. 79 victories? Nah, nowhere. It's only 60 feats? Nah, nowhere. Three draws and fought the echelon and the top bodies. Although, yes, you did say the other day some of these guys were over the hill. So what? There were people who wouldn't fight these guys over the hill themselves, and he fought them. And he fought three animals, which was De La Hoya, Tito Trinidad, and Chavez Sr. I mean, who would venture fighting these guys? And he fought them all. You know, and this is why now, you know, it's well-deserved what he's getting. It's well-deserved because he is a kid who, and I can talk for the next 20 years, you know, about the greatness of this kid. Unfortunately, he couldn't escape the demons that he was imbibed with the drugs. And there's rumors from the police department that when he got shot, that he was not the target. It was the other dude. And that was a wild bullet that got him in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's gossip that he couldn't escape because he was strapped down with the seatbelt. I mean, there's so many things that are coming up that just destroy you. At least it affects me emotionally about this young kid, only 50, and I say young because he was only 50 years of age, and realizing a career on, you know, on television. He had his own talk show. He had this on. I mean, what more do you want? And yes,
and
come forth to
and,
you.
And Doug,
yeah.
And does let me interject that if I'm listening to you and Harold and Doc correctly, he was one of those guys who had that come along once every 10 year type of talent.
Yeah.
As far as you know, actually in the ring.
One
of the guys
that
you see is
that he was
so
actually
making a comeback.
He was gonna make a comeback in the ring in the next year or so. At 47. I mean, he quit at 47, but he was going to make a comeback now in the next year. Well, he was already training. I mean, you know, I don't know how good he would have been, but probably would have been an accepted commodity.
Basically, he would have been what you and Al were just talking about a moment ago, a natural.
Yeah, exactly, because all he had to do was get his reflexes back and lose a little weight and get a little tighten up, and who knows?
Well, I'm not
going to
agree with all that.
I don't know about now, but I mean, you know, earlier in his career, you make it sound like what you and Harold were talking about earlier, and Doc, that he had that type of natural talent that he didn't have to show him the same thing 20 or 30 times.
But the body erodes, and that's what it is. Is back, you know, got to get back to the. To the stamina and the strength that you had before, you know, and it's very difficult, you know, and another painful view that I had at the funeral parlor in Puerto Rico, I saw with Fedor Benitez, man, he couldn't walk, he was in a wheelchair, man, and I said, oh my Lord, man, why do I have to watch this, man? You know, I see all these guys come on, you know, but it's sad. I mean, it's a very sad epitaph to a kid who could have gone on to greater levels in addition to his boxing career. But, you know, anyway, that's my thesis on this whole kid.
You know, Doc doesn't think that this particular basketball player had similar talent as Hector being a boxer. But I want to know if you and Dusty, do you remember a basketball player in the Knicks? He also couldn't get past his demons. And I think that this guy would have been great if he'd have been able to find a way to...
I said Sugar Ray was an outstanding player.
Was he the Nets?
No, you're talking about
Michael Ray Richardson.
I think Sugar Ray was an outstanding player, and he could have been outstanding, but never, in my estimation, did he elevate to the Frasers and Monroe, Oscar Robertson. I didn't see him being a Hall of Famer.
Naturally, if you're talking about Hall of Famers, but I'm just saying, if this guy would have been able to get a handle on his demons...
I said he'd be an outstanding player, but I didn't see him being immortal. I just didn't see him being immortal. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Sports In Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. This is
a Friday look back and a Friday look forward. Austin Trout, the junior middleweight champion, goes against Miguel Cotto, who's fought over 8 times in Madison Square Garden in front of over 100,000 people. And he's going for Trout's junior middleweight title tomorrow. Trout, who's from New Mexico, whose mother and family is from Brooklyn. In fact, check this out. Dusty Harrell, when I found out, you know, he has some Panamanian blood in him. He's part Panamanian.
Wow.
And guess what? He's the nephew of Rod Carew.
You got to be kidding. So then he is Panamanian.
He's the cousin to
Roberto Duran, right?
No, he's a cousin to, but you know what's funny? He said, you know, because he understands Spanish, and
he said it's not available.
So what happened? Duran called him a name in Spanish, and then when Duran came over, he spoke to him in Spanish, and Duran said, "Well, you understand Spanish?" He said, "Not only do I understand Spanish, but I'm Panamanian." Duran said, "I'm sorry,
wow.
I didn't mean what I said." No. He said Duran never did apologize. Duran said, "Oh, I think they said Duran just said, you know, he called me and said, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were Panamanian. You know, they didn't apologize what he said." But it was an interesting story. I asked him, did he feel that the guard was a comfort zone for him? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, the crowd, it makes him do the necessary things. And when he should box, it causes him to box and needs to brawl. He brawls. He talked about the presence of Emmanuel Stewart, how much he misses Emmanuel's barbecues and also the knowledge that Emmanuel brought, you know, to him and his career and to his camp. The other things we'll talk about real quickly, as we said, the Yankees have signed Andy Pettit and Mariano Rivera, so they'll be back next year. They say Derek Jeter's put on a little weight as he's recuperating. RG3 will be against the Giants Monday night here. We are remembering always the great, the Macho Man. So, and like we said, also a big fight at MSG tomorrow night. And Harold, you're sticking with Trout, right?
Yeah, I'm staying with him. I just think that, like I said, he's definitely got the better ability for the right thing in the fight.
Well, I mean, well, Trout said that, you know, everything is in his, you know, he said he understands that if he wins 8 rounds, you know, he knows that he has to win dominantly, overwhelmingly, or a knockout. In a lot of ways, this is Cotto's house, but at the other hand, that could turn out to be a psychological defect. We got the muscles here with Cisco Kid. Did you make the way in, Cisco?
Yes, I did make the way in. The story is that Cotto made weight very well. There was a little bit of speculation that Cotto had problems making weight from what I was hearing here and there, but he made weight pretty well. Actually, the fighter that did have problems making weight, I believe, was Austin Trout. He had to weigh in twice, and he had to actually take off, you know, they had to put a towel over and take off his undergarment so he could weigh in. But he weighed right on the mark, so he actually did weigh in at 154 pounds. So,
what was Cotto's weight?
Cotto's weight, I believe, I didn't really get it, but I believe it was a pound under, maybe 153 or something like that. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, that's cool. Yeah, he always went.
He was on weight.
Cisco, did Austin look like? Did he look comfortable? Did he look like he was ready for the
He looked. He looked weight drained. He looked weight drained. Definitely looked weight drained. Yeah.
Jesus.
You could see it in his face. Yeah, he looked weight drained. I mean, he looked fine yesterday, but today he looked weight drained. He probably maybe weighed himself this morning or maybe yesterday and realized that he was maybe a couple of pounds over and had maybe sweat it out.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because when he weighed in the first time, he wasn't on the mark. When he weighed the second time, he was right there, right on the mark.
So you mean he had to take off his clothes to lose an extra pound?
Yeah, everything. You go move just to make sure you set off a few ounces, but that's not good because of the fact that like we all talk about, and Harold mentioned it many times, is that the discipline. If you know you got a 54 pound contract, man, my God,
Everything is against him. He's fighting Cotto in Madison Square Garden. He's fighting again in hostile territory. He's fighting a guy that, even though he's the champ, the other guy, and they even did it at the press conference, he's the champion, and they brought him up before they did Cotto. How do you, it's what you constantly say, Dusty, what you constantly say, Hal, is, you know, it's the blind leading the blind. It's not just his fault. It's a certain obligation, too. You said so much, Hal. The one thing you hated was to do something wrong and have to go back to the corner and listen to your dad and Gil's mouth. Who's running these guys? But then again, you know, here's a guy that I got a call yesterday from somebody, told me to, hey, listen, man, Austin, people want an interview. I made a call. I left a phone number. I left a name.
Oh, yeah.
And I still haven't heard anything. Okay? So, enough said. Enough said. I mean, but it's just amazing that you can come into unquestionably, the biggest fight of your career, the fight that's going to put you on the table, that's going to make you marketable, that's going to springboard you, and you tell me that you're coming in overweight? Harold, can I use your term? Sad and touchy.
Harold?
I think I might have lost Harold. Cisco.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he was overweight, because he did make weight, but when he first hit the scale, he wasn't on the mark. And, of course, he had to take his undergarment because, that actually helped as far as making weight. But, he looked like he was weight trained. He looked like, he was dry.
Yeah.
So, something like Cotto maybe looked before he moved up from 140, Maybe not as bad, but close, a little close to it.
Yeah.
Live in Madison Square Garden, Cisco Kidd.
Yeah, what I don't understand is this lack of discipline. You know, you're fighting in the mecca of boxing, the biggest. He also was under the radar screen. He reminded me of Glenn Johnson, the Road Warrior. He fought all over the freaking place. I don't even think he fought a preliminary in Madison Square Garden. I mean, I stand corrected. But here he gets a shot at the biggest place and defending his title against a four-time champ.
Hold on just a second. Rooney, give us a quick close out. We'll do a little mic on, lights on real quickly. Close it out here, Rooney.
Thank you, Doctor. Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. Hold on, gentlemen. Nobody say another word because Larry has something to say.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports In Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
For you, another few minutes, nothing long, but just kind of wrap as we get tired of this here. Without further ado, let me bring you to Mic On, Lights Off, Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
The Sports In Depth Nation is here. Our Sports In Depth panel is here. Welcome to Sports In Depth, Mic's On, Lights Off. Sports In Depth Extra is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here, and the great Doc Stanley, the straw that stirs the drink, is here. Take it away, Doctor.
Thank you, Winnie. Those kind words, far too kind. And here we are. We're back. And another bit of it, though. We're going to mic on, lights off. As always, dear Lord, thank you for all things. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, gentlemen. Dusty, you were talking, and it just... how does this happen? I mean, forget the fact that you're fighting Miguel Cotto. Forget the fact that you're fighting Cotto in hostile territory. Forget the fact that you're the champion. You're fighting for the first time in Madison Square Garden. You've been trying to get Consuela for months, and now she finally says, yeah, and you show up a half hour late and no gas in the car.
Exactly. And this is basically what I leave that total impetus of responsibility on the trainer. Because the trainer has to say, hey, a 54-pound contract, let me see. You know, when I was training, I weighed every night. I weighed before I trained, and I weighed after I trained. Okay? So this way, I knew exactly what I had lost and what more I have to lose. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I knew how much I had to lose. But here, I don't know what they do. And Miguel Cotto said, this is why the edge is on Miguel. Miguel Cotto said for high altitude and breathing purposes, I went to Big Bear, and he trained him with Shea Mosley, Francisco Vargas. All the Mexican fighters used to go Big Bear. That was big, high climate mountain. To
Fernando Vargas. Got it wrong.
Fernando Vargas, yeah. And to expand the lungs and get more stamina and fresh air, the whole nine yards. And he finished up this last week in Florida, but he went to Big Bear. So the man really, really put his mojo into concentrating on fighting this guy. You know, it's not so much that he sees Austin as a walkover. Wow, he's 26 and he's only had 25 fights and all that. What Gordo saw was a fifth world title. That's what he wants. You know.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I've always gave kind of the edge to Cotto from the beginning, only because. If you look, you have to look at Trout. You have to analyze Trout from, you know, yes, he's undefeated, but who has he beaten? Yes,
exactly.
He's got, you know, quite a bit of knockouts, but look at their records. Look at the guys he's knocked out.
Yeah, you said that before. Cotto, you're right.
Cotto, yeah, Cotto is definitely the more experienced fighter, even though this guy is the world champion. Cotto is definitely has a skill level is above this guy, even though
absolutely.
This guy is, like I said, He's supposed to be world class, world titleist at 154. He is the bigger guy.
Cisco,
and
you knocked the world
the
class
that
out the window when you come into the biggest fight of your career overweight. Forget what world
exactly.
class. Yeah, I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, but you know what? Regardless, if he came in overweight or he had problems making weight or whatever, this guy's resume does not stand in the same.
Oh, no, I mean,
let's
okay, I understand
nobody,
that. I mean, we're looking at the other negatives, but the bottom line is this: it's $2.50. You got $1.75. You knew it was $2.50. You got $1.75. You're right. Okay, now we find out. Not only do you have $1.75, but they're all pennies. But the bottom line
right.
is, you come into the biggest fight of your career.
Of your career,
and,
you know what that
yeah,
goes
he should,
into the.
You know, you're right. He should have came in. At his weight, he should have came in the best shape of his life.
You should have threw a $20 bill down there for the $275.
He took short money for this fight too. Short money, being that he's a world champion and everything and undefeated, he's probably getting nothing for this fight.
Marquee fighter is Cotto. That's the way it is today. The marquee fighter gets all the money, even if he's not the champion.
That's true, but you know what? They didn't want to take this fight in the beginning because of the money that was offered. You understand? It was really low numbers. I don't know how much, but he's practically getting pennies for this fight.
Fellas, we got to run. We're going to come back with this. Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The crew is all here. Cisco Kid live from Madison Square Garden from the way, and actually in the Infinity Hotel. It's General Baby Lewis. We're going to run. We'll be back later on. We'll be at the fight tomorrow. We'll be giving you Radio Pump, and I'll be covering it for the Amsterdam News. One more time, Miguel Cotto and Austin Trout tomorrow. And Mariano Rivera, happy birthday to him yesterday as he signed the Yankees along with Andy Pettit. David Wright, biggest contact in the history of the New York Mets. Michael Jordan, banned in Florida. RG3, the Redskins, getting ready.
That's like everybody else.
Hey, you know what? Hey, put him in his place.
Michael Jordan banned? What happened there?
They stopped him on the 11th hole and told him that the panty had cargo pants weren't allowed. Mike said, I'm on the 11th hole of the golf course, and now you tell me, not to mention that I played here before. We'll talk about that later. Gentlemen, Marvin Gaye is going to tell us good afternoon. We'll be here, everybody, tomorrow. The gang's all here. Leave with three thoughts.
Gang.
Live your life today.
Rudy, Frisco, everybody, take care.
Okay, thanks, Dustin.
All right, take care, guys.
Rudy, tell everybody goodbye.
Yeah. Okay, I've your
Sports In-Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In-Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network, and the straw that stirs the drinks. Been here for lights on, mics on, lights off, and have a great day. A great Doc Stanley.
Thank you. Thanks for kind words. The Cisco Kid live from the way in. Dustin Old Baby Laws live from everywhere in New York City. Harold Weston Jr. and Malcolm Sell Smith. We'll be back later on tonight with more and tomorrow, and also our Sunday sports wrap up. Marvin Gaye will close it out for us. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Marvin,
I just want to ask a question.
God bless.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live. Live for life.
Life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to them. Oh.